The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. And welcome to the latest episode of Wrestling with Jonas, episode 285, and a slightly late night edition of Wrestling with Jonas, you could say. But I'm joined by a brilliant guest, and this is my second live guest of the week. I spoke to SoCal Val a couple of nights ago. Go and check that one out. A fantastic interview from one of the most entertaining people in the business right now. But tonight, for a Thursday evening, nearly forgot what night of the week it was. I'm joined by one of the most dedicated and hardworking pros in the business. And for my money, one of the very best wrestlers in the UK, Lizzie Evo. Lizzie, how are you doing?
Thank you so much. I'm good. I'm good now being able to sit down and actually get on. Sorry about the time.
Hey, don't worry about it. But I think just to kind of, have a peek behind the curtain, you were at training, weren't you? You go to Future Shock, once or twice a week, and it was a bit of a journey back. But how did your session go anyway? How did your training session go?
Fun. I had a different class today than usual. I had the same people in. But I usually run the 5 o'clock session on a Thursday. But I had the 7:15 class tonight, so that ran all the way till 9, and then I got all the way, I came home. But yeah, it's in Manchester, so it's like a good 45-minute drive, sometimes an hour. Yeah, getting out of there.
And you don't want to spend any longer in Manchester than you really have to anyway.
No.
So get out of there as soon as you can. But we are live across YouTube, Facebook and Twitch. And if you want to get in touch with the show, you can do. If you want to ask Lizzie Evo any questions, any comments, you can do. Just send them through to us. Use your chosen device. They'll ping through to us and we'll do our very best to bring them up on screen. And Lizzie, I've had a ton of questions come through before we went live tonight. And we've had a few drop through already. We've got quite a few people watching already. So thank you to everybody watching at home. This later than usual Wrestling with Jonas. Maybe I should do them all, at 10:30 in the evening.
I know, but, why not?
Maybe I should.
That's
maybe
the best
I should.
Time when everyone's ready to chill out.
That's the best time. And on a Thursday, the Apprentice has finished, so I haven't got that to contend with. But first of all, I'm going to bring up a picture and don't want to embarrass you. In fact, I'm probably going to make you blush a little bit, but look at this picture here, Lizzie. Look at that. Talk about Becky 2 bouts. You've got Lizzie 4 bouts there. This was only last year, 2022, and when you were carrying all the gold. And I'll bring that picture up again in a minute. A fantastic time. But, I mean, in a nutshell, if you were to sum up, I don't know, your last 12 months, last year and a half, since wrestling came back in the summer of 2021, you've had lots of really cool moments, some amazing experiences. You've probably done things that you never imagined you would do. But if you could sum up the last year or so, how could you?
I don't think I have much words. One minute life's just like you get up, you go to the gym, like you don't really have much on, but you've got some shows at the weekends, and then all of a sudden life's dead fast and you've barely got time for the gym, you're always wrestling, and like that's the life I always asked for, that's the life I always wanted. I knew I wanted to be a wrestler since I was a little girl, so now I'm in the middle of it. I appreciate it and I'm grateful, because I look back and I think I've wrestled some amazing people for some unreal companies.
Yeah.
I've been to some of the best places that like I wouldn't write on paper thinking I would go to wrestle, if that makes sense. So to sum it up, it has been actually out of my wildest dreams. It has.
And we're going to do our best over the next hour or so to look back at some of them highlights of your career and to get your insight into your experiences. And I was chatting to you very briefly before we went live, Lizzie, and remarkably, this year marks 10 years in the business. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? That's crazy, isn't it?
I was chatting to one of the lads at training tonight, who's also, he started at the same place as me, and he started actually 6 months before me.
Yeah.
We was just chatting about it, and it's like, where does time go? Where has the last 10 years of my life gone? Like, I was a 14-year-old girl getting in that ring, and now I'm 24. Like, it is scary, but it's like, I wouldn't have wanted to do anything else with the last 10 years of my life. And everything I've learned in wrestling has made me such a, like, a different human. And, like, I can't explain it. Wrestling has just changed my life completely since I started doing it.
A lot of people are only just getting started at 24, but you're already 10 years in, and you've done some of the most amazing things that most people don't accomplish in their entire wrestling career. But we're gonna look into that for sure. And like I say, if you are watching live, and if you want to send us some questions, you can do. We've got Richard Pugh watching us live on YouTube. We're going live. Yes, we are live, Richard.
Richard, that we was running a little bit late.
That's all right. I think Richard's a bit of a night owl anyway, so it's all good.
Yes.
But let's see where we are. So, right, this coming Saturday, Lizzie, you've got a bit of a big match, haven't you? You've got none other than this one here from Lincoln, the second return show from 1PW yourself.
Boom, boom, boom.
Martina, Ruby Soho, this coming Saturday. That's a pretty awesome match, isn't it, really? And you were there for their return show last October. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but like I say, you've just come back from training. You must be kind of getting yourself ready for that match on Saturday against AEW star Ruby Soho, and of course Session Moth Martina, somebody you know very well. But how are you feeling about the match 2 days out?
That's like, don't scare me like that from the 2 days out shouting me.
I know, but like I say, wake up tomorrow and it'll be 1 day out.
So I actually sorted my mum, my little nephew, my sister-in-law and my other sister and a girlfriend some tickets out for the show. And I think it hit me then. I'm like, whoa, I wrestled Mickey James. That was massive. I didn't think I could, like, the feeling I had could top it. But 1PW just keeps surprising me. And as soon as I seen that match graphic, I was like, I love Session Moth. I wrestled Session Moth in Dubai. It was one of my favourite matches because she is just like, one of the best wrestlers I've worked with in terms of how she is in the ring and her psychology and everything. Like, I just love her. And to have Ruby Soho in as well, like, come on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Pretty nice, isn't it, really? I'm guessing. I'm buzzing. Have you wrestled Ruby before? I don't know whether you've been on the same card as her before. So it's brand new to you then, brand new.
This is going to be the first time I will have ever met Ruby yet. So it's nuts.
Absolutely, it is nuts. And I don't know if there's still tickets available, but looks like go to the website, check all of 1PW socials to check. I'm sure.
I can confirm that. Don't think there is tickets left. Like,
right.
When I looked through the link, there wasn't any tickets left. So it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, because I know that, I mean, we look back at this match here and against Mickey James, and they sold 2,000 seats for the Doncaster Dome. And, I mean, we talk about Ruby Soho, we talk about Session Moth Martina, but Mickey James. And I know that you're a huge wrestling fan, and you must have kind of grown up watching, you know, the Attitude Era and then kind of the early 2000s and people like Mickey James and the whole Divas Era. I mean, I do have a question that came through about this, I think. Now let's have a look. So I mean, first of all, how much did you enjoy your match against Mickey James? Because 1st of October last year, there might have been a few butterflies, I'm guessing, but I mean, it was a great match, and if there were butterflies, you wouldn't know from watching it back.
Oh yeah,
but,
it was.
How are you feeling before you step through that curtain?
It was scary that day, you know. It was scary. I remember Will, the photographer, caught me backstage, and I was just deep in thought, and I looked back at it and I was like, you know, that was when I was like thinking about everything, like, this is gonna make me break me, this is like, she's either gonna like me, she's gonna not like me, like, so many things as a wrestler was going through my head. And like, little old me from Liverpool, like, it's dead emotional because I did grow up watching Mickey a lot. Like, I'd come out from school, I'd put the telly on, it'd been recorded from the night before, and I would just sit and watch it, and Mickey James would always be on. And it was around the time when she would be tag team with Maria. I don't know if you ever remember that. And Michelle McCool and Layla, they were in a feud, and like, I always remember them days. And to be me, like, it was when a music hit for me and she came out and she had a hat on and I was like, this is fucking crazy. Yeah. This is mad. That was exactly what I was thinking. And the cameraman actually caught a little, I know because it's me and my family know, but like you can tell by my facial expression that I am doing everything possible I can to hold back tears because like that was such a proud moment for me. Really proud, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a couple of pictures here from that match and look like you're enjoying the hell out of that match, to be honest with you, Lizzie.
Oh, yeah, I love everyone.
Having the time of your life, for sure, and who wouldn't? And another question that came through about that match, the first question, by the way, was from Ashley Clements, friend of the show, and I'm sure a fan of yours, and this one's from Darren, I believe. What did it mean to you to step in the ring with a legend like Mickie James at the return of 1PW? I think you've kind of said, but like I say, you were a fan of Mickie. And like I say, watching her come through the curtain, but probably a match and a moment that you'll never forget for as long as you live.
No, I'll never forget. I'll always remember that. That'll be one I'll tell my kids, and I'll make sure my kids tell their kids, you know, like,
yeah,
that's it was so big for me. I say to my nephew a lot, sorry, that's the dogs next door.
I thought that was my dogs actually, but that's all right.
Liverpool doesn't stop, Liverpool doesn't sleep.
We might have a barking competition. I think mine might wake up in a minute.
Mine's gonna go in a minute because it's fuming that one's going.
That's all right, carry on.
Sorry, to bring it back, to add the 1PW retain show as well as that being like, it was massive. You know, I used to watch 1PW when I was younger. Like, I was 14 when I started wrestling, so I would always watch like the top indie promotions, obviously wanting to get like these people. And 1PW, I'd always watch, like, you know, fucking, they had everyone, like,
and I would be,
and then, like, 1PW wasn't around, and I was like, it was sad, because I know there was all these other promotions, and they were growing, and even some of them were massive already. Yeah. It was like, 1PW, like, I remember that from when I started, so I was like, when they came back and asked me that was like, fucking hell. That was like going back to what I said earlier, like 1 minute you can just be sat normal and then boom, everything's just dead different because I was just sat normal and then 1PW reached out to me to wrestle Mickey fucking James. Come on,
yeah,
like.
Yeah. But it's hardly surprising though. I mean, like I say, certainly over the last few years and certainly since, you know, wrestling came back after lockdown, you've been so, so busy. And I don't think there's been a promotion across the UK you haven't wrestled for. Like I say, extremely dedicated, very hardworking, and for my money, one of the best wrestlers in the UK, male or female, to be honest with you. But to something that dropped today, now I don't know if you've seen it, but something that dropped today on Progress Socials was this here. We talk about 1PW this coming Saturday. The following Sunday from the Electric Ballroom, the 26th of February, there's going to be yourself and Millie McKenzie. Now, like I say, when you talk about kind of a match to get excited for and a match to kind of salivate over, Lizzie Evo versus Millie McKenzie, yes, please. And I know that you two have had a bit of a storyline over recent weeks and recent months on Progress. Like I say, and I've had the pleasure of being there to see this unfold. But that's going to be a banger, isn't it? And like I say, when look at the card, the chapter 150, and it's going to be a big celebratory, momentous occasion for Progress. But that match right there, I think that is worthy of being on a card, such as that, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I remember wanting to work with Millie for a long time, like, and then NXT UK snatched her up.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm not going to go work with Millie for a long time now. And then Millie was actually my first dark match at NXT UK. Really? So I got to work Millie there for the first time, and it was like, you know, it's not, if you know, you're wrestling there, so there's so much pressure to be outstanding, do you know what I mean? But like, when you're doing these indies, it's like, this is like, I can't explain it. I always wanted to work Millie on the indies, always. So Catch booked it, and it happened, and I was so buzzing about it, absolutely loved it. And now we get to do it again. North booked it as well. And then now we get to re-go again. So like, there's just so much goodness around me. I'm so grateful for the matches that are being thrown at me, because I always wanted tests, and these are actual tests to my abilities, tests to my strength, tests to my mind. Everything that you need as a wrestler, you need these type of opponents.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of thinking ahead, like I say, we're into a new year now, 2023. I mean, where's your mind at regarding how you want 2023 to shape up for you? And obviously, you know, you're a highly competitive, very, very skilled performer, one of the best in the UK, like I've said. You know, when you look off into the distance, kind of how do you see 2023 shaping up?
I've got so much cool stuff booked in already. I used to boast and brag about like all these things, but like I'm so private now, but in a way where I like to keep it that way until the time's right to announce things. Like, I am so happy being me freely, if that makes sense. I work at Future Shock one day a week. I'm so busy at weekends that I couldn't have time to go and do other things. Like, I'm so committed to wrestling, and that's exactly where I want to be. I also want to see the whole world. So, like, I want to travel and wrestle in as many places as I possibly can. Like, I have lists of places I want to wrestle.
Yeah.
And I have lists of places I want to see. But if I could bring wrestling to them places I want to see as well, like that's something I want to work towards doing this year for myself, definitely.
Sounds good. And you mentioned traveling there, and you did briefly mention Dubai, but on the topic of progress, they flew the team out of the crew out there in December. So while we were, you know, here in old Blighty, in our cardigans, kind of shivering underneath our blankets, you were
sunning yourself
on the beach in Dubai. But let's say a great show. You said you had a fantastic match against Martina, but I'd say not a bad way to spend a few days in December than over Dubai. But that must have been a fun experience.
Oh yeah, that was lovely. Dubai was up there with like bucket list places for me, so to go over there doing what I absolutely love, like, what else? I had a little cousin who's living over there, and I totally forgot, and she messaged and she was like, are you wrestling over here? And I was like, oh, yeah, come watch me. It was so mad. It was boss out there. Like, I got to do bucket list things like in the desert, you know, riding the sand dunes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we got to ride it on a yacht and just getting to know the team outside of wrestling as well. Yeah. Like, because
on a more casual,
I always say it's important that you know your team, and it's important that you get on with your team, because you spend 15 minutes in the ring with each other, sometimes a bit more. So if you're traveling with the team, you got to at least get on. And every single person that was on that list that came with us was like, couldn't have asked for a better team. Everyone was just boss.
I got
to know everyone, and that's what made my experience better, because it was like I was there with a group of mates. It was nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And Richard Pugh's been in touch again, saying he works till late, so he's always up. Ruby Soho and the Moth. What a show that'll be! What a match that'll be! And I totally agree, Richard. Absolutely. And going to bring up another match graphic here, and something else to look forward to. And is this one here? The next show from Pro Wrestling Eve, and you finally get your Pro Wrestling Eve championship match. It was meant to have happened at Eve 100 in January, didn't quite happen. I'm going to butcher the name here, but Miyu Yamashita, is that correct? My pronunciation of Japanese names is not the best.
I'm a Scouser, so I'm always different, but I will pronounce it Mayu Yama. Yeah, I'm not even gonna say it.
Yeah,
I know I say it.
Mayu Yamashita. Anyway. Mayu Yamashita. That's close enough. But like I say, you finally get your Pro Wrestling Eve Championship match, and let's say it was meant to have happened at Eve 100. I think there was all sorts of things going on. Yeah. The card got shuffled all over the place, but still, Dan and the team, they're putting a tremendous show. But it's finally going to happen. I'm just going to bring it up to remind myself of the date, March the 8th, a Wednesday. Is that right?
So it's a weekday.
And I'll say one full 30 minutes to a time limit. But Yamashita is coming over to the UK, and you will be, I'd say you're the number one contender. I think you're the number five contender, but you've got your championship match, Lizzie.
I did indeed.
How do you feel about that?
I feel like I proved my point at Eve, you know, like, not going off or anything, but I did, I've done, I've worked hard that Eve. I've tried to like be a bitch to the crowd as much as I can, even though some of them still clap for me, you know what I mean? Like, I do love going to Eve shows. So when I seen that, I was like, this is, do you see what I mean? Like, graphic after graphic gets, I don't think I can top the last one, and then boom, someone else comes out with another one, and I'm like, this, my creativity just goes off on one. I love watching my stuff. Like, Dan said to me to watch stuff anyway, but I was already way ahead of that, because I was like, I already know who she is. I already watch stuff in Japan. I already watch all this stuff, do you know? Like,
yeah.
So I know what to train for that. Like, yeah. I'm going to be on my guard, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was doing a bit of research on her as well. And I think she's been in the business about the same length of time as yourself. I think you're similar ages. You've both had, you know, very competitive careers. I think she's done quite a bit of work for Joshi Pro and DDT and various others. And obviously she's the Pro Wrestling Eve champion. But, you know, that's going to be a proper all-out battle, isn't it? It's going to be a bit of a wrestling match, but I think a bit of a fight as well. And I think there's going to be some hands thrown. But how do you see that match going? Have you got a game plan yet?
And when I try and think of a game plan, I keep thinking of all these other matches. So I'm like, I can't even like focus at the minute. I've got so much
going on.
Yeah, but I always watch my own stuff. So it's cool when I watch it. I'll get a little thing that'll go off in my head, and I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, like where I could interpret myself, my own stuff. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I always study wrestling in that mindset, because you just never know. Like, one day you could end up working with these people, and I am. So, yeah, it is going to be definitely one to watch, I think.
And as a wrestling fan, and you never stop being a wrestling fan, even when you're in the business. But what sort of wrestling do you watch? Do you watch wrestling on a regular basis? Is it just certain promotions? Is it just stuff on YouTube? Or do you get sent tapes? What sort of wrestling do you enjoy watching?
It varies from time to time. Like, I go through, I watch all different types of wrestling, especially with me being a coach now at a Future Shock on a Thursday, because... Yeah. You know, not everyone's going to have the same style of wrestling. Like, some people are better at this style, some people are not so good at this style. Like, it's good to study and watch them all, so you know and you have an idea. That's the way I always thought and watched and looked at it from growing up, especially when I first started breaking out onto the scene when I was younger. And, you know, I would do a lot of family shows, and I think that was where I learned a lot about crowds. So it's like, it's just knowing your audience. And so I just watch different types of wrestling. I'll watch anything that I see on me YouTube page. I've always got wrestling on there. Yeah. Mostly Japanese, I'm not going to lie. I do watch a lot of Japanese. But I do also watch like just certain wrestlers. Not so much shows or matches. I have specific wrestlers that I'll go watch, and I'll watch a lot of their matches. And if I come across someone they wrestle that I think, oh, I like their stuff, I'll go watch their stuff as well. So it varies from person to person, time after time, to be honest.
But one thing I will say is I think that certainly the women's roster in the UK at the moment, Lizzie, is amazing. I think certainly coming out of lockdown, it was very, very strong. And you saw a lot of promotions putting a lot more emphasis on women's wrestling. Certainly promotions like Progress, Wrestle Carnival, you know, they were putting a lot more emphasis on women's matches, you know, and so many others that I haven't mentioned. But it's quite an exciting time, isn't it, to be a female performer in the UK. And the amount of talent that you've got, I mean, I could list 20 or 30 names off the top of my head of really top tier talent that are not just amazing in the women's roster, but are up there with the men as well. But it's a great time to be in the industry, especially the women's division in the UK, would you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Even in terms of promotion and booking more than one women's match as well. It,
yeah,
like I said, I'm so grateful and lucky that not just me, but all of us women get these opportunities in these spots, because we deserve it. You know, like, we do just as much as the men. We work just as hard as the men. Like, we put on in all that time and effort. We spend money on our gear as well. Like, you know, this is why women for so long were like, take us seriously, because we do actually put, some of us put in more, and I'll be the one to say it, you know, yeah. But I think it's such an important time to be a female wrestler on the scene now, because there's so much you can learn from everyone. And I'm getting to work with people that I haven't worked with before, and I'm learning every time I get in the ring with people, and it's a mindset thing, and I love it, because I feel like I'm not wrestling the same people all the time anymore. It's like, this scene is full of so many different women to work with. And like, you've just showed me three different graphics of three different women where I'm like,
phenomenal.
Do you know, like, you just, it's a time to be very, very grateful to be a women wrestler. Definitely. Yeah. And I think any woman that you interview in terms of asking that question will say the exact same thing, because especially when they're supportive women as well. I've met a lot of supportive female wrestlers that will push you and will work hard. Like, I'm in a Rio, for instance. Rio is a star. Like, she is just in the ring amazing, mentally amazing. Yeah. Everything about the woman is just amazing. So anyone who gets to work with Rio whilst she is still out and about on the indies should be very fucking grateful. I'm telling you,
she's phenomenal. But like I say, we can list, you know,
and
20,
that's just
30,
one name.
You
know, that's just one. If I sat here and told you all of them, I'd be sat here all night. You know,
stacked.
No one wants me to sit here talking shit all night.
We'll probably talk about a few more during the course of this conversation, so I'm sure we'll get a chance to put a few more over. But
my phone just popped up 10% and I didn't want to interrupt yet, and I feel awful. Can I get my charger real quick?
Get your charger.
I'm so sorry, and I'll
talk to the audience at home. But that's right. While Lizzie gets her charger, just want to say thank you for tuning in, and some guests that we've had in 2023 already. And I'd say, if you haven't checked them out already, go and check out my interview with Jetta that kicked off the year 2023. Fantastic pro, one of the best in the business. And I'm sure Lizzie will agree that Jetta is one of the best female performers in the UK and further afield. Then I spoke to the brilliance James Ellis earlier on in January, and then Truman Roswell was a fantastic and a very interesting guest, even though his fire alarm went off a couple of times during the interview. It was obviously a conspiracy theory. And then, of course, I had Tom Dawkins, Cara Noir, at the end of January. So please go and check that one out with Tom Dawkins if you haven't done so already. Bowlerama were a fantastic guest. They were my first guests of February 2023. Fantastic tag team. Slightly updated gimmick for 2023. So go and check that one out. That was absolutely fantastic. And done in full character from beginning to end. I also spoke to Gene Money in January. Another fantastic character. And of course, we've got Gene Money's Daft Lad Emporium coming up on the 8th of March, I think it is. So check that out. Last week, I spoke to Bullet. A fantastic interview from the bodyguard of Spike Treve, but doing some wonderful things on his own up and down the UK. And of course, earlier on this week, I spoke to SoCal Val. A fantastic interview on Monday. What SoCal Val hasn't done in the business isn't worth mentioning. Impact, TNA, all across the UK, what she's currently doing for Monopoly events and for the love of wrestling, and of course, all the fantastic and wonderful work she's doing for Progress Wrestling. Of course, I've got this wonderful lady here, Lizzie Ever, with me, and I think she rejoins us. How are we doing?
Hello.
We're plugged in. And that's right. I covered well because I got to promote all my previous interviews. So I'm very happy with that. It was a good segue. It was a good segue. Now, I want to talk to you about Sov Pro. Now, why would I want to talk to you about Sov Pro? Because I think that took place a couple of weekends ago in Manchester. It was your entrance that caught my attention, Lizzie. And I haven't got the video, but I got a few graphics. And of course, you know how to get heat. You know how to get proper heat. And you certainly did. These were some of the images that flashed up on the screen. Ferguson was overrated. Wannabe Beatles, and there you are. I think you've got a Man U shirt in your backside there.
The only way I was touching that is if I could wipe my ass on it. That was the agreement.
I hope none of my wife's family is watching this because they're all avid Man United fans, but that's all right. That's all right. But I mean, it was a lot of fun. You were involved in, I think, a six-woman scramble match for the championship. But Sov Pro, I think that was only their second show ever. And already, it's almost as if they've been around for years, to be honest with you, with the quality of show, the matches they're putting on, just the entertainment. And, of course, having yourself there as well, which is an added bonus. But tell us about that show and tell us about some of the heat that you must have got. And I saw, you know, when you were around the ring, you were waving the shirt around and giving the fans. And I noticed Charlie Crothers there kind of standing up to you. We love Charlie on this
Charlie
show.
Charlie Crothers thinks that he can give me shit all the time and he just can't.
Charlie,
can't you've got against me.
You got to learn your lesson one day, boy. You got to learn your lesson one day.
He will one day.
That was a lot of fun, and I've seen you do similar things, Catch Pro, where you've done similar things on your entrance. But that looked like a lot of fun. Tell us about it.
The Catch one was fun because I was able to come out and sing it, and I've never done that before yet, so that was fun. This one was completely different because it was like the vision, and It was just so I heard you Scouse bastard, you Scouse, all out louder than the music, and I was like, they're right there, I've got them right there. It's exactly where I want them. And there was one fan in particular, he had a Liverpool top on, and he was just there like, yes, yes. And I was trying so hard not to be like, yes. I tried not to look at him and everything because I'm surprised he didn't get ale through at him and all that. He was going mad.
Oh, amazing, amazing. And like I say, you certainly kind of stuck it to the Manchester audience there. And I think you're probably, after that show, Lizzie, you're probably the number one heel in that promotion.
Well, that was the goal.
Yeah,
that was what my intention was.
Achieved.
So I hope so.
Absolutely. And what I really, really love, you know, besides you being a fantastic talent in the ring, is this persona. Sometimes you're a babyface in certain promotions, but mostly a heel. And like I say, I've done interviews and promos with you backstage where you've really given it to the camera. You really kind of let your heel persona come out 100%. And I've caught the brunt of it as well, once or twice as well. But you know, this heel persona, where does it come from? I mean, is it inspired by anybody, any of your wrestling heroes? Or is it just you dialed up a little bit?
I think it's a mix. If you really want to get into it, when I was younger and I watched wrestling, my favourite was always Randy Orton. I would watch everything, even when he was a heel, and normally as a fan you'd be like, oh, you'd go off people when they turned bad, but he was just the ultimate favorite for me, so I would study everything down to, especially when I became a wrestler and I knew how to work, I would study his bumps, I would study how he worked the crowd, and just details and looks, you know, a simple look is enough and you don't have to do a million things. Like, I think once I knew I was better at being a heel, in my opinion, I am. I mean, I love working both ways and I can work both ways, but being a heel, I have so much fun. I think it's because I'm a Scouser as well, and people automatically are just like, oh, a Scouser. Do you know what I mean? So instantly I've got people already not wanting to cheer for me. So it's easier for me to be a heel. And yeah. It is definitely me dialed up. I think when you get to know me, you know that's me in the ring, but it's also like a character version of me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, it's so believable as well. And like I say, you know how to wind up that crowd. You absolutely know how to wind up that crowd, and you do it so well. And like I say, I think you're one of the best heels in the UK.
I love
sure.
winding the crowd up. My mum watches me matches with me and she's like, you're having fun there, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm loving it.
Yeah. Let's go to some questions that have come through already. And I think Hender the Great has sent through. So the Eve show is a weekday as it's International Women's Day. So thank you, Hender, for clearing that up. And Hender, I'll bring up your next one. Any unique pre-match rituals, routines, superstitions? Flipping off the crowd does not count, apparently. Well, maybe it does. Who knows? But any pre-match rituals or superstitions or routines?
Not really. I would. So these two rings I have is both of my nans who have passed away now. And I only ever take them off if I get a bath, a shower, or I'm at training, wrestling, or working a show. And I would always take them off and I'll always give them a kiss and I'll say a prayer. That is every time before a match I'll do that. But that's the only thing I do. I don't really have any superstitions. But that's definitely routine for me to do that. I always do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Facebook user. Now, if you are watching us via Facebook Live, just go to StreamYard.com/Facebook, and then that will automatically allow your picture icon and your name to appear on screen. If you're watching via Facebook Live, StreamYard.com/Facebook. But it's Facebook user, and I will try and find his name in a minute. Liz's entrance is brilliant. I think that's undeniable.
Thank you.
We've got, watching us via YouTube, Prince of Strong Style. That entrance was superb. As a big City and Oasis fan, I have to say I was offended and amused. So offended and amused all at the same time. But
I'm very sorry.
I've got to
the
say...
The only one to the good night of that wrestling.
I was a big Oasis fan back in the day, but then after a few years, they turned into more of a dad rock group, lost their appeal to me. So, yeah, but I've moved on since then. I've moved on. Let me ask you, because we spoke at the top of the show about this is your 10th year in the business. You're 24, so you would have started when you were 13, 14 years old. Yeah. You've told us a bit about your kind of wrestling fandom and your love for wrestling as well. But what did you always want to be a pro wrestler? And at that age, how did you go about finding a school or starting your training? That must be quite an interesting thing, especially at such a young age.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Always wanted to be a wrestler. Definitely. Yeah. I always watched it when I was younger. The first ever wrestling show I watched was TNA. And it was when they had... the eight-sided ring. Yeah. And I was just like, I didn't want to be a wrestler then, but that was when I got introduced to wrestling. And as time gradually went on, I don't know what it was that clicked in me. I was just like, that's what I want to do. I want to be a wrestler. And I said it to my mum. I was like, I want to be a wrestler. And my mum was like, there's no wrestling schools over here. And we actually researched and we were looking it up and couldn't find anything for a while, and it was actually weird how it happened. WWE were coming over here to do a live show, and I knew tickets were going to sell out fast because they don't usually come to the Echo Arena around that time. And so me and my mum went camped outside the arena, like a lot of people were there, just to get good seats, make sure we got good seats. And there was people wrestling in the crowd, and we were like, there's a queue of people waiting to get tickets and these men are actually wrestling with each other. And we were like, what the fuck's going on? So I looked at my mum and I was like, I'm only a kid at this point, but I'm like, what the fuck? We're in the middle of Liverpool. What is going on? And the next minute, someone else who was with them was giving out leaflets. And it was for a training school, which wasn't too far from my house.
How lucky that somebody's just passing by with leaflets. That's really crazy.
I think they were with the group.
Yeah.
So they were putting on a show. Right. And she was giving the leaflets out at the same time.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go to this. I mean, I'm glad I did, because look at me now. I wouldn't be sat here having this conversation. Yeah. But yeah, it was mad. That was how I discovered there was British wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely crazy. So you obviously joined the school. Now, one thing that I noticed doing my research on you was, although you're from Liverpool, a fair bit of your early career was Cov Pro, is that right? Coventry Pro Wrestling? So, I mean, my geography is not great, but I don't think Liverpool and Coventry are terribly close, are they? How did you have to make a long journey every weekend? Or tell us about them early days.
Yeah, so I was training in Runcorn,
right,
at the time, which was about an hour and a half on the bus. Sorry, that is my dog that time. Fifi, come here.
We've got a cameo appearance from Fifi. What a lovely name.
Yeah, she's just barking at the window. The Runcorn was about an hour and a half from my house, and I would train there every Saturday. And I finally got asked to do a show in Coventry. And I could, no, the first one I was wrestling, Nadia Sapphire. She was my very first outside booking outside of my training school.
Yeah.
And that show had unreal people on, by the way, and I had Pete Dunne on it. One of the YOLO squad was on it. There were so many names on it that, like, I now are doing amazing. And I'm just like, whoa. Wait, if you put me back there now, I wouldn't have thought it at the time that, like, that we were all going to go on to become all these people. Like, it was so weird. But, yeah, Coventry was, like, they took a big chance on me, and they did get a big platform for me to get out there. Yeah, I spent a lot of me outside bookings, I would call them at the time, at Coventry. That was where I first wrestled outside of the training school, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up some pictures. Now, I always bring up one or two pictures that might embarrass my guests, and it's no different with you, and I apologise in advance, but here's some early pictures of Lizzie Styles. Now, look at that. And obviously, you've got a championship bout there. I'm going to ask you in a minute what bout that is. And it's yourself, maybe a tag team partner. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with the individual on the left there. Some earlier pictures of yourself. Kind of how old would you have been in those photos, maybe?
The first one, I was 15 in that one.
Right. 15. So maybe a year or two in then, maybe a year in. But And what championship
I
is
about
that?
That picture.
That's crazy.
I haven't even got proper wrestling gear on.
Google is an amazing thing. Google is a wonderful thing.
Google is a scary place.
Look at that one there. That's a great picture. Who's the other
Ruby
individual?
Summers, her name was. I think right. I was 17. Yeah, I've got no tattoos on my arm. So I've... Yeah, I think I'm 17.
Yeah, yeah. And
I
dig deep when I do my research. I dig deep. But
like, that was a shocker.
Absolutely. And like I say, you obviously started to branch out across the UK, working for more promotions, still at a very young age, 15, 16, 17 years old. But let me just bring up my information here and make sure I've got all the right information, because 2016 was when you got the invite to go over to Japan. Yes. Absolutely crazy. Is that right? Yes. Was it Stardom?
It was Stardom,
for?
Yeah.
And got one or two pictures here with
Lizzie.
The streamers being introduced. Look at that, fresh faced and everything. And
baby, I'm such
there we
a
go.
Baby.
Look at that, unbelievable, unbelievable. But I mean, you would have been still a teenager, 17, 18 years old, getting your first tour over to Japan for Stardom. Stardom, you know, world renowned top promotion. Could you believe your luck? I mean, what was that experience like, first of all? And how did you get the invite?
It was weird how the invite came around. I was just doing family-friendly shows on the weekends. Camp shows, they were half terms. I would spend a lot of time. I was just grinding doing them. I wasn't really active on the indies. Like, I wasn't getting booked on many of them. I was just doing, you know, the same shows every weekend. And I just randomly got a message on Facebook. And I was like, this can't be real. So I looked up the account, and it turned out that it was all legit and stuff. So, yeah, that was how it came about, just a Facebook message. And I was like, there was a couple of girls that reached out to me afterwards, like, how did you go about getting over to Stardom? And I literally was like, I just got a Facebook message. But I was like, I sound like I'm lying to these girls, because, like, it's not believable that you just get a message on Facebook to go wrestle for Stardom. So I was like, yeah, it didn't sound like believable at first. So I looked into it, and I had never flown out the country ever before. I was only 17. So my dad had to drop me off at the airport. So I had to get a passport. It was, that was mad how my life just changed. I was ready to go to college. and I was ready to do a course for beauty, weirdly, and you know, it just wasn't me. I'm glad that I didn't. Instead, I ended up going over to Japan, and wrestling for Stardom.
So a curious question from me then, like I say, off to Japan, doing your first tour of Japan for Stardom, back over to the UK, wrestling all over the UK. Was you pretty much a full-time performer back then?
Yeah.
You were a full-time performer?
I don't think I've been able to hold a proper, like, time job. Like, you know, like a normal 9-to-5. Like, some of them just required me to work weekends and weekdays where I wouldn't have been able to get to training. I wouldn't have been, and I was just so committed to being a wrestler that making money and living a normal life, it was so weird to me, believe it or not. So I was so lucky I had the help that I had, and I did try and make, you know, my own little jobs on the side. But yeah, I was pretty much just going with the flow of life, seeing where it took me at that time.
Yeah. So we've had a ton of questions come through, and I will be asking them all out very, very soon. Now, we've got one here. Once again, the Prince of Strong Style watching us via YouTube. Lizzie, you've become a firm favourite of mine, and I think you were unlucky to miss out on the PWI 150. I totally agree on that. You're a great villain. Did that come easy at the start of your career, or did it take time? So we've spoken about how much heat you get in various promotions, especially Solve Pro and one or two others where you're the out-and-out villain, probably the best villain on the show. When did that sort of persona, when did the heel persona start kicking in for you?
I always worked as a babyface on the camp shows. I think I did one show on them family-based crowds, where I had to be a heel for the first time ever. And it was against a very inexperienced girl, and she's not working anymore now. She wasn't around long. And that was where I learned how to be a villain.
Really?
Because I realised there's so much more to being a villain than what I thought. Like, you have to pace this match. You know, you have to control it. You got to work the crowd at the same time. You know, you got to know your audience. And you feel your audience on your entrance. That's me personally. I think everyone's different.
Yeah.
But every match I had as a villain, when I first was becoming a villain, I was using it as practice and as reps because I was like, in my head, I wanted to be the wrestler that people spoke about. In my mindset before every show was, I'm going to be the wrestler that everyone remembers at the end of this show. You can do the best move. You can do a million flips. But I promise you, you'll say my name after this show. You'll say that girl from Liverpool if you don't know my name. And that was my mindset going into every show as a villain. And I used certain things to my advantage. Like, I know some people value the city, so I'll use the city against them. Some people value the football club. You know, it is basically just like knowing your audience and a little bit of common sense, which I don't have much of, by the way.
Don't sell yourself short. But we've had a lot of questions come through about Alexis Falcon, which we'll get to in a bit, and NXT UK, which we'll get to in a bit, because there is an order to these things. I try to keep things in order. But Richard Pugh saying CPW, Cov Pro Wrestling are good. They are very, very good. I've spoken to several individuals that have worked for CPW over the years. James Collins said those picks, them early picks, remind him of Megaslam days. But
Megaslam. James Collins knows.
There we go. And look at that. Fresh faced and ready to take on.
That was definitely from a Megaslam show, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready to take on the world. And
little did I know, eh?
And you certainly did. So I've got a couple more pictures just to get us to our next point, and that is Defiant. I think where a lot of people kind of know you from, or where you really started to get on people's radars, Lizzie, was Defiance. And obviously there's some graphics there from you against LDM, of course, slapping the chops off of Kanji there. She was obviously the champion at the time, yourself as the Defiant champion. Back then as Lizzie Styles, and you had a tremendous time with Defiant as the champion, and a series of matches with Lana Austin that I think will probably go down in Defiant history. I mean, I've got a list of some of the matches here that you had with her, but let's see if I can get my place here. But I mean, tell us a bit about your memories of working for Defiant, because I think a lot of people have very fond memories of when it was WCPW and then it changed to Defiant. What are your memories of working for Defiant back in them days? And like I say, you had a lot of success as well.
Yeah, oh yeah. How it came about was I happened to be backstage at a World of Sports show when they were on tour.
Right.
I think it was in Leeds or Hull. But the promoter of Defiant was there. And I'd never been to a Defiant show before. I'd watched it on the internet and stuff. But I'd never been to one live. So I didn't know who the promoter was, stuff like that. So when it came to me and he was like, I'm Dan, his name's Dan, and I love Dan. I'm so grateful to him because, you know, no one really took a chance on me then. And he did. He gave me a big platform and he gave me a really good story to tell, you know. And he knew my character. He knew where I wanted to take my character and he gave me some input, but he let me do my thing. And I'll always be grateful to him for that. That was really good, fun working for Defiant. But when he said to me, Rampage had put me forward, and I was like, you know, at the time I think I was only I could have been 18 or 19 maybe, I'm not sure, but at the time I was like, I was watching these lads like Rampage on shows, so for me to hear that people like Rampage are putting me forward for Defiant, I'm like, nah, come on, if these people are doing that for me, then I need to stop fucking putting doubt in my own head, and I need to stop letting negativity consume me. I need to stop letting negative and bitter people around me soak the energy out of me. I need to stop it, and I need to get the fuck out of that mindset and stop feeling sorry for myself and get out there and go get it. And the Defiant days for me are the ones that stand out the most, because that was the hardest time in my life when I was wrestling for them.
Yeah.
And I get that emotional talking about it now. And it's just because I was at a low, low point. Like, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
I was at a really low point.
Yeah.
With everything, wrestling, life, relationships, just everything. Yeah. And I was just ready to quit. I was going.
Yeah.
I just wanted a normal life. Go make money, go start a family. I don't know. I was getting tired of being tired.
So was you ready to jack wrestling in then at that point?
Were you
ready to give it all in? Yeah.
I was, yeah. It was I was just having a shit time. And I didn't realise at the time, but my energy that I was putting out there was so low, vibrational wise, and it was just manifesting itself back to me in more ways that were worse. And I was just in a rut. Like, I weren't getting many bookings. You know, my luck was terrible. I knew I needed to change something. And I couldn't pinpoint what it was. I was seeing comments like, she needs to change her hair colour. She needs to get new wrestling gear. She needs to do this. And they didn't bother me. Because I've never been one to be give two fucks what people think about me.
Yeah.
But I knew in myself that something needed to change. So for someone else to point out some things about me that they thought I should change, I was like, okay, maybe that is some things I need to change. So fucking lo and behold, lockdown came after the Defiant run. And, you know, we got bad news that Defiant wouldn't run again. And it was shit because, you know, I was on a run there. I was doing really well. I've still got the title in the living room. My mum's got it on the shelf.
Have you really?
Yeah. It was because I'll tell you before I finish, someone reached out to me to fill a spot at What Culture before it was Defiant. And I couldn't do the show and I was trying my best to get it because I really wanted to work for them. And it just, it fell through. I did it. Someone else took the spot and I missed that. And that was, I was fucking devastated. And I didn't, at that time, I wasn't positively thinking about anything. I wasn't thinking that time it'll come back. But now I look back, I'm glad someone took that spot because Defiant got to see fresh Lizzie Styles.
Yes.
And a whole new me, a whole new story. And it wasn't just a spot to fill, you know? So that was everything. Patience is key. Mindset is key. I've learned a lot. The Defiant run taught me a lot. The Defiant run made me realize a lot. Lockdown came. I changed my air. I changed my life. I changed everything about myself that I hated, that I didn't want anymore, that I knew needed to be fucking changed and only I could change it. And Defiant was a massive, massive credit for me finding who I am.
Yeah. So you know, I was going to ask you about lockdown and whether that gave you the opportunity to reflect on your wrestling career up till then and, you know, give you an opportunity to kind of think about how you wanted to come back and how you wanted to be presented and, you know, perceived by the fans in the locker room. And you just said it. And I'd say along with the hair and maybe the gear, also the name change as well. And did you wanted to come back a newer, fresher version of what you had before then, essentially?
I look at Lizzie Styles and I think Lizzie Styles was setting a foundation for who I am. She was figuring out the business. She was figuring out life. And I feel like Lizzie Styles exceeded everything that she needed to. She couldn't have gone any further. Like, I don't, when I look at it now, I think that's just younger me. That was just screaming for maturity and for like a little bit of hope and positivity in my life.
Totally get it.
So when I came back as a brand new me, I was like, this is it. Now I can't, I'm not slipping off. I'm not going to fall. I'm not, I've built it. I've worked hard and I used it to my advantage as best I could. So I'd be a fool to let it fall now.
And you certainly did that. And Richard Pugh reached out again. Boom. Positivity is the only way forward, Lizzie. Trust in yourself.
That's the one.
There we go. Trickster Tom, watching us via YouTube. Thank you very much. Inspirational words from Lizzie there. Lots of that is applicable to us all. Really glad to have listened.
Thank you. To have
you watching and to listening to this fantastic story. And one thing that I think will kind of put a smile on your face and another company that's been very, very close to your heart for a number of years now, and that's TNT Extreme.
Yes.
We all love TNT Extreme on this podcast. We love Jay and the team there.
Jay is the favorite scouser in the whole world.
Yeah. And I'd say, I mean, that promotion, it's gone from strength to strength. And what it's doing now in 2022 and 2023 is absolutely amazing. You've seen it, you know, with your own eyes. You've been there for a number of years now. But I'd say it is one of them promotions that's very close to your heart. What does TNT mean to you, especially?
I'd say everyone who knows me knows that TNT is my own. Like, there's Lizzie Evo. Wouldn't be Lizzie Evo without TNT, let's be honest.
Yeah.
TNT gave me, so Defiant was before lockdown, after lockdown was TNT. They gave me the platform. The way they built mine and Alexis's storyline up, I'll never forget it. And the time, the effort, the money, everything that they put in to building the whole show as a thing, but the women as well. You know, I take my hat off to Jay because he's just a normal lad, and he's just a normal lad from Liverpool, trying to run shows, make people happy, and he's doing a really fucking good job at it. He really is. And, you know, I come across all these people who are like, oh, yeah, I'm trying to get on TNT. Can you give a good word for me? I'm like, I mean, I'm not one for politics or anything like that, because I've had it done to me. I don't like people that do that. But Jay is one of my good mates, and I can't, obviously I can't guarantee I can get people shows, but I will always put words in about people who I think are good and stuff, and Jay will always listen. Jay knows that he runs his shows and we do it through our jobs, and he is so good with letting us have creativity and just who he is as a human. I really value Jay. I'm really grateful for him. I'm grateful for TNT as a whole. Like,
I am
Lizzie Evo because of TNT.
Yeah, and the name's not there, but you know who sent this one. You know who sent that one in.
That's him, innit?
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, that was Jay. That was Jay. We've had a lot of interest before we went live about your series of matches and your feud with Alexis Falcon, and let me just bring something up here, because good friend of the show Ashley Clements, I loved your feud with Alexis Falcon across the country. Would you want to have another match at TNT but have the roles reversed, with you being the face and Alexis being the heel? And we know, if you've seen anything of TNT recently, that Alexis has recently aligned herself with the spectacular twat, the TNT world champion Charles Crowley, of course. So now she is more of a heel, I suppose. She is a heelish twat. That would be quite an interesting one. And I mean, you've had some bangers, and I think that's kind of everybody likes saying that, some bangers of a match against matches against Alexis Falcon. And I'm going to read out some here. You've had Falls Count Anywhere matches, 2 out of 3 falls matches, a 30 women Ironman match, championship matches, your TNT championship reign lasted for 644 days. So not a bad run there, Lizzie. But 644 days, according to cagematch.net. So if you were to have another match at TNT with the roles reversed, do you think that'd be quite fun?
I think I'd love that. I'm a babyface at TNT now, and she is a bastard at TNT now. So who the fuck knows? You know what I mean? Like, I would actually, now you've got me thinking.
Yeah.
You know, that would actually be fun as fuck. Let's see if she could bully me the way she's trying to bully people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love that.
That would be really cool. And I think there was another TNT question. Let me just see if I can find it, if I can get myself organized here. But it was essentially the same question. I'll try and find it in a bit for sure. Let's have a look. We've got Joaquim Martinez, who sent us a question watching us live via YouTube. Hey, Lizzie, it's Kimmy. So I don't know if you know Kimmy. I'd love to ask you about your experience in Stardom very early in your career. Would you like to go back there like Zaya Brooks I did recently? So I think a lot of the UK talent have gone over to Stardom at one point or another. You certainly did back in 2016. But is it an experience you'd like to repeat sometime soon?
I mean, it's definitely an experience that I would like to make different than it was the first time. 100%, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not, I would never say no. Do you know what I mean? I would never turn an opportunity as big as such a way. But I'm not currently looking for that, if that makes sense. I'm wanting to work at places I've not worked for before.
Yeah.
Kind of want to have my foot in a bit of everywhere eventually. Like, I just want to get off. When I eventually go, I want to be able to say I did it fucking all, you know?
Yeah.
So if it comes back around, I would never say no, but I'm not going to chase. I don't chase, I attract the thing. But yeah, it's definitely something I would make right if it came back around.
If that Facebook message came through again, if you get another messenger, then
I know, yeah,
you're not going to turn it down, are you?
I'll have to put my Facebook notifications back on.
There you go. And TNT actually got in touch before we went live. I bet you can't guess who sent this in. Who is your favourite scouser in Brit Res? There you go. I want to talk to you about TNT. Here we go. NXT UK, because you had a lovely little run with them from about February, March of last year through to when the doors closed, unfortunately. How did you first appear on WWE or NXT UK's radar? Because I'm guessing you had a trial match maybe, you know, a year or two before, but how did you first appear on WWE's radar? How did they get in touch with you?
One of the coaches was at a show back at the Defiant days. Now we're backtracking now. So
yeah,
we're back to the Defiant days. So we're Lizzie Styles now. Someone gets in touch. Someone was at a show I was at. And he took me email and said that he would be in touch. He got in touch and asked for some matches, and I sent some over. And this is where you'll understand why I was at the point of giving up. I got an email back that was like, oh, at the minute, it's not what we're interested in. And we'll let you know if anything changes. And I know, as a company as big as that, what they want changes all the time. Sure. I didn't, but at the, I was in my head and I got it. I made it too personal and I got really down about it. And then I felt like I had a point to prove. So that once I stopped feeling sorry for myself and I was like, okay, I'm going to use this to my advantage, and I changed everything. They reached out and it was for a tryout. And it was just as simple as, hey, would you still like to work for NXT UK? And, you know, we can just, sometimes when you sit there and you get down in yourself and you think this is never going to work for me, that was my chance, I blew it, that's it. And like, you just never know, things always come back full circle, and sometimes they take longer than others, but yeah, it does come back. And so they got in touch with me via email about the tryout, and I was so fucking nervous. You know, as leading up to that email, all I ever wanted was that email, invited for a tryout with the WWE. And you watch all these videos of people that tough enough, and you watch all these tryouts, and it's when you're there and you live that, it is so surreal. So like when I first walked into the performance center and I saw they had a big W logo, which was WWE's logo, obviously, and it was just massive. The first thing that you saw as you walked in, and I was like, I get used to that, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Like, and then you'd walk through to go to the rings, and there would be every belt, every replica of every belt that they had over the years. And the Divas Championship was on the wall, and I'd see it every morning when I'd come into the PC to do training. And it was just lovely because I loved that belt growing up. Like, I loved the women's belt, but just the detail of the Divas. Not many people like it, but I loved the colour and all that. And it was just there, looking at me every time I went in. So it's just that cool, you know. I finally got to see inside the PC that I always wanted to see, you know. Finally got to work at NXT UK show, not just one but plenty. I got to work against Miko, you know, like that was
phenomenal. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But I mean, you mentioned, you know, Mako Satomura, Isla Dawn, Blair Davenport, Zaya. I think you teamed with Zaya a fair few times. Yeah. Amel, and so many others. And like I say, an experience and a time in your career that you'll never forget. And obviously the doors then kind of closed. Obviously that there's still talk and rumors of NXT Europe. I mentioned, you know, a few times that you're easily one of the leading female performers in the UK and Europe. But if they came a call in again for NXT Europe, would you be interested?
I think, yeah, it's definitely something that I would consider. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You'd be silly not to consider it, at least.
I mean, I had a really good run with NXT UK, and for so long I wanted to be there.
Yeah.
I was watching the shows, watching the women, and then I was in the midst of it all, you know. That four-way that they had me in, the elimination four-way, and me and Blair being the last two. That shows to me that they felt I had some type of potential. I don't know. So I'm just happy knowing I got to do that run with them whilst they were over here. And I'd be happy to, you know, expand it if it ever did approach me. And again, I would definitely be silly not to. You know, we all get into wrestling for various reasons, and mom was one day being a WWE superstar. So, you know, once I had once I was watching myself on the telly and I had that little W at the bottom of the logo at the telly, I was like, come on, like, yeah. I am so happy. And even now that the doors have closed, I'm still happy that I still got to do it. You know, it might not be a thing anymore. And I do miss going to London, believe it or not. Like, I formed some really good friendships and some boss times.
Yeah.
I am really happy that it was a thing. And I don't feel sad about it anymore. I can look back and be happy about it now.
Absolutely. A very kind of glorious chapter in your career.
Absolutely.
Do you feel that you came out of working for NXT UK a different person? Obviously, you worked with some of the best coaches in the world, some of the best staff in the world, some of the best performers in the UK, Europe and the world, let's be honest. And you've obviously got Coach Bloom and Shawn Michaels watching via camera from the other side of the Atlantic. And that must have made you a little bit nervous. But do you feel that you kind of grew and learned maybe more about yourself and how to become a better performer from your time in WWE?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the training drills that we ran at the PC quite frequently, I would always remember them. I would write them down. I would take notes on them. It was so important to do so, and I'm glad I did, because now, obviously, I take the Future Shock classes on a Thursday. I can interpret what I learned there with these guys at Future Shock. And then if some of these wrestlers are aspiring to get there, you know, this type of training will help, because this is what they taught me. This is what they look for. This is what they like. This is what they don't like, type of thing. So, yeah, I definitely left. I'm not sure all in all how long I had with NXT. But the time that I did have with them, I learned so much, and I've definitely come out a more happier, mature Lizzie Evo.
Oh, 100%. I think that's evident from anybody that's seen you perform, you know, in the last year or so. And another company I want to talk about, probably the place I've seen you the most at, is Wrestle Carnival in Nottingham and Coventry. A really good promotion ran by Gary Ward, of course. And like I say, you were there from their very first show, 1st of August 2021, the Portland Centre, Nottingham. Like I say, we've seen this company kind of grow to the point now where it's kind of doing really well at the HMV Empire in Coventry, putting on some fantastic shows, bringing in talent from all over the UK and all over the world. But you've been there since day one. I mean, what's your experience of Wrestle Carnival been? Because you've been involved in some pretty cool storylines and some heated feuds, especially Charlie Morgan and Jetta. But it's a fun company to be a part of, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. He's always up to some madness, Gary. He is, like, there's always something on the show that's like, oh, you know, like, he's a cool dude. He runs some fun shows. I do love doing Wrestle Carnival shows. The crowd's always fun, and they give me shit, like smart type of shit. They make me angry to a point where I'm legit angry. So, yeah, I do love doing Wrestle Carnival shows. They are always fun. I always leave there feeling accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you've seen this, but a match has been announced for
their
July show.
See what
number
I
one
mean.
Contenders match. Yourself
see
and
how
Alex
good
Windsor.
My year looks.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, and like I say, that's two of the finest, two of the very best pros in the game, Alex Windsor and Lizzie Evo. That's going to be, I'll say it again, that's going to be a banger. And that's a number one contenders match. Like I say, the Wrestle Carnival, Queen of the Carnival, looks like it's with Jetta at the moment, or is it with Jetta? I don't know, something going on there from their last show. The new general managers had his hand in things. But have you faced Alex Windsor before?
I have, yes. I worked Alex Windsor. I want to say it was 2017 when she was named Liberty.
Right.
And I was named Lizzie Styles. That was for, I think, Infinite Promotions when they ran Liverpool, maybe. And then we wrestled again most recently for Pro Wrestling Eve.
Yes.
Last year. Yeah, that was one of my favourite matches from last year as well, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how we're going to top that one.
Wow. I'm sure Gary's got a few ideas up his sleeve. He'll probably let you know. And I'm sure that'll be an amazing match.
No doubt.
That'll be an amazing match. Let's see where I am with my notes. But yeah, we spoke about Dubai and Progress. I just want to finish off with Progress because they really do put on some amazing shows. One of the best, one of the top promotions, indie promotions of the UK, Europe, and further afield. And they always pack out that Electric Ballroom. So I don't know whether you worked Progress before they made their return last year. So was that another debut for you last year?
I did Behind Closed Doors tapings.
Ah, right, the Peckham era, yeah.
Yeah, but that was the first. I did the indoor tapings when no fans were allowed in because obviously the COVID restrictions. And then we did the live one, I think it was the ballroom.
Yeah.
May have been my first one. Yeah. Which is, by the way, that's actually crazy because I'd always wanted to work for Progress and I didn't get a chance to. And then when Martin and Lee bought it, I was like, yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm going to work for Progress now.
yeah, absolutely. Another kind of top promotion, the checkbox ticked. But Lizzie, it's been incredible talking to you for about an hour and a quarter.
Thank you so much for having me.
But before we let you go, an opportunity for you to throw out your social. So if there's any of my followers, listeners, or any of your fans want to get in touch, they want to kind of just reach out, say hi, or maybe kind of see some of your footage, buy some of your merch, where can they do so? And if it helps, I do have a little picker.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at LizzieEvo_97, I think it is, or it could just be LizzieEvo97.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter on this at the same at LizzieEvo97 and Facebook. I don't have Facebook at the minute, no.
No, I've put your Instagram and your Twitters along the bottom there. I think that's where you're most active, isn't it? That's where you're most active.
I use TikTok occasionally, but it's not really one that I use every day, so I wouldn't say go follow me. Merch, I will be posting on my socials, so just keep an eye on my socials.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything about merch, so hopefully something new will be dropping soon. But Lizzie, it's been amazing speaking to you for an hour and a quarter, and looks like one of the best conversations I've had this year. So I just want to thank you so much. If you've got a final message to your fans out there, to your supporters, to your friends and family, one final message, what would it be from Lizzie Evo?
One final message from Lizzie Evo would be to just keep being yourself, follow your dreams, don't care what people say about you, find what you enjoy doing the most and put your heart and soul into it because you only get one life, so live it.
There we go. Lizzie Evo, thank you for being an awesome guest and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you so much for having me on, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.